Here with Casey Anderson and Chip Robinson. Just played the WDVX Blue Plate Special earlier today, and going to chat with each of them about their new album and everything they've got going on. We're going to start with Casey Anderson here, and Casey, I just want to mention, I've written about this on the site before. You know, it's been a few years now. There was a little website called altcountrytab.com. And you used to post there, and I would read and post from time to time. So I've been aware of you for a while. Never really started listening to your music, though, until earlier last year. You sent a copy of the recent covers record that you did, and now Nowhere Nights, the new CD, which is what we're focusing on today. Really got to say, love the sound, love the record, and Nowhere Nights, I guess we'll start with the story of that record. It's just kind of a disc about moving on, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. It's a disc about moving on from, you know, a headspace or a feeling. And it, for me, it just so happened that those were pretty closely related to Bellingham, Washington, because I lived there for 8 years, the formative 8 years of my life, from the time I was 18 to the time I was 26. So, you know, it's just about that sort of routine that everybody sinks into, and that sort of deceit that you feed yourself to keep yourself doing the same thing day in and day out and pretending that you're okay with it, and just moving away from there. For me, it took a physical move to get away from it, but, you know.
Apparent from the very first track on the record, Bellingham Blues, you're talking about burning bridges and leaving town and moving on. So where is that taking you now?
It took me back home to Portland. I was born in Portland, Oregon, and moved back there in 2007.
Okay. And I guess even though you're in Portland, there is still that theme of leaving. You've got, you know, getting lost in the Nowhere Nights on one track, and tearing it down, burning it down on another track. The just kind of permeates the whole album, that feeling like you were talking about of getting out of that headspace. And you know, how difficult is it when you're in a space like that to put those thoughts down on a record?
For me, I didn't know that it was a record until I looked at all of them together. When I left Bellingham, I went immediately on tour with my band in 2007 and just did writing exercises every day to keep myself active. And then when the tour was over, I looked back at it and said, you know, it's clear to me that I have something I want to say out loud. And that's one of the things that I'm proud of about the record, and that I really like about Chip's record, too, is that they are records. It's a story with a beginning and a middle and an end, or at least it to be continued. And a lot of people don't do that anymore, you know, because of iTunes or because of everybody's attention span or whatever else. But I like a record that tells a whole story.
You kind of mentioned that today at the Blue Plate. You had a record deal and someone wanted you to put out just a song or two.
Oh yeah, it was 2008 and the Reckoning had been out for a year, and I knew that this one was still at least a year off. And the guy who ran this record label in Portland said, why don't you just give me something from the album to send to radio? And I said, well, that's pretty silly, because you know the album won't be finished for another year and a half, and it's silly to put a song out there to just have one song, and I'd like to put the album out as an entire album, you know, and then radios can play whatever they want from it, because it's not, well, we don't make the kind of records that you send to country radio and you have a single that you push, you know.
I will say we don't add singles at yeah. WDVX, and we are playing the record quite a bit.
Yeah, thank you. And that's what I tried to explain to the guy, was that, you know, I don't make the kind of music where you need to have a single to push. You send the record to people and they play it or they don't. And he just, you know, it was just clear to me that we came from two different schools of thought. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just put out my own records. And then when I was finishing Nowhere Nights, Eric Amble, who produced my album and Chips, played some of Chips for me, and I said, who's going to put this record out? And he said, well, we don't know yet, we're kind of looking. And I said, okay, well, I'll put it out. And so that's how it went from me putting out my own records to me thinking that maybe I could have a small label, you know, that puts out records by artists that I really like and really respect and who are looking for somewhere that sort of understands what an artist goes through when they try to put out a record.
And that is the link there, Eric Amble, Roscoe Amble, the producer, to Chip's record Milo, and we'll talk with him about it in just a bit. But I am interested in this artist running a record label, kind of owning your own music, having the creative control of everything. How does that impact the record that you make?
It doesn't impact it too much for me. I mean, you know, we don't, everybody's record is a licensing deal with us, which means we don't own the masters, we don't own the publishing or anything like that. And I was never on a huge conglomerate label, so it's not like I ever had anybody looking over my shoulder and telling me how to make a record. But, you know, it's been, on the one hand, it's been a little bit more freeing because I don't have to answer to anyone else and I'm in charge of what's going on, and if something's not right, then, you know, it's up to me to fix it. On the other hand, it's a little bit more stressful because I do have more things to juggle than just going on tour behind my own record. You know, like, I want to make sure that when we put out Chip's record that it's not half-assed, and you know, that the people who distribute his record get it in stores, and that we have... I got really lucky. My friend used to work for Bloodshot Records. He used to work retail for him, and he quit. And when he quit, I said, you know, I'm going to start a label. Do you want to just work some pro bono retail? And he said he would. So we have a good little group of a few people working hard to make sure that the records that we put out are done right.
Cool. Well, let's bring Chip in on that note then, because he has a new record out on Red River Records, which is Casey's label, and I guess, Chip, really the first non-Casey Anderson release. Is that correct?
Yeah.
On the record?
Yep.
So how has that been, Chip? The new record, Milo, we just got it here at DVX a couple weeks ago and really been loving it. And I want to talk to you about the process behind that record because I feel like there's a lot there. But while we're talking about this record label, as an artist working with another artist, I guess what's the difference with that and the records that you put out with the Backsliders over a decade ago?
Well, it's... Casey gets it, you know, and whereas I didn't have to, it wasn't an issue. Back to the single thing, you know, the last record we did, Backslide Records, Southern Lines, was in the kind of the same vein. It was sequenced as such, where there was a beginning, a middle, and an end to this story. It was a piece, and it should have been listened to as a piece, and label got it, and they said, well, we're going to do this sequence, and which what they did was try to stack what they considered the singles up front, you know, so they did half the record, so, well, you can do whatever you want to the next half, and it's like, well, you already screwed it up, so, but, yeah, I mean, it's good, I mean, you know, I had to butt heads with Roscoe a little bit, but at the end of the day, you know, we always agreed, and Casey said, you know, this is the record, and this is it, and we're doing it, and so it's easy.
Yeah, and it is, like you said, a story. The beginning of the record starts in a very dark place.
Yes, it does.
And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about where this record came from over the last 10 years.
Well, it was about the last 10 years, and it took that long to write it, you know, because, you know, just trying to live and stay alive, it was hard for me to find time and quiet time and to, you know, just sit down and just write. So, you know, it was, everything got written when the muse hit, or the inspiration hit, and you know, I didn't really think I'd ever make another record, and Roscoe was in an accident, broke his wrist, and he had some downtime. He said, well, look, let's make a record. So, you know, got in there, and, you know, got to have the songs, got to have this amount of songs, just, you know, how am I going to do this, and, you know, I said, well, this and that, and this and that, and this and that, and I had to, there was, you know, I had the concept, and it needed something to tie it together, so there was, I wrote one song for the record, and it still needed something to tie it together, and I heard, I was considering doing a Marianne Faithfull song, and I was down in Austin, and saw Ian McLagan, and he played the song Cushy Rye, and I just went like, that's the one. I mean, it'll just tie this whole thing together, and you know, and so I'd get up in the morning on my day off and go to Roscoe's, and we'd sit in his apartment, his home studio, and work all day. You know, we did a couple of things over in the studio in Williamsburg, but for the most part, it was done in the house, and got it together, and got it mixed, and got it mastered, and now Casey's got it pressed, and now the circus is on the road, you know.
The traveling circus of yes. Casey Anderson and Chip Robinson. And the album, you know, like I mentioned, it does start in that dark place, but there are some celebratory moments, at least musically, on there as well. Coochie Rye, one of those songs. And, you know, even some of them, you know, they might sound celebratory, but there's an undercurrent that runs through it as well. Milo, the title track. Who is Milo? What can you tell us about that? Is that a
Milo was a rabbit.
Okay.
And my girlfriend at the time, you know, I said, what do you want for your birthday? She says, I want you to write a song about Milo. And I was like, no, I'm not writing a song about a stupid rabbit. There's no way in hell, you know. So I was like, oh, okay, God. So I sat down, and it just came out, and I was like, oh, crap, this could be the best song I ever wrote. It sucks. Damn it. You know? So, you know, there you go. And then she's like, wait, you got to name the whole album after him. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not naming it stupid, right? And of course, relationships go to shit. So I said, well, fuck, why not? Why not? You
right.
know? It's,
well, it certainly is. When you listen to it, it seems deeper than a song about a rabbit, for sure.
Well, you know, it's a story. I mean, it's kind of, you know, girl grows up, moves away, right. leaves some guy behind, you know.
Takes the rabbit with her.
Takes the rabbit with her.
All right.
You know, it could be about a kid, you know. It's, you know.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while I have you here, I had a chance. About a month or so back, the Bottle Rockets came to town, and I had a chance to talk with Brian Henneman about that early alt-country scene there in the 90s. And, of course, he was doing it in a different place that the Backsliders were. He was more of a Midwest, and you were there in North Carolina. But the Backsliders came out around the same time as Whiskey Town and some of these other acts. What was it like back then? Did you have a feeling of what was going to come out of all of this?
Well, I guess Backsliders had been knocking around for about 4 or 5 years, and I was working in an amp repair shop, and Phil Wancher, who was guitar player for Whiskey Town, walks in the shop one day and fixes an amp, and he goes, man, we're starting an alt-country band. I go, well, good luck, Phil, because, I mean, we weren't getting any breaks, you know? I mean, Uncle Tupelo was taking off a bit, but, I mean, we've been beating it, you know? And I'm like, well, good luck, pal. And the next thing I know, boom, it's Whiskey Town. And there was one radio guy, NC State, Ross Grady, him and Tim, had this radio show on Saturday, a local thing, and so I walked in there one day with a 45, first thing we ever recorded, a split single with Phil Lee, and I was like, we made this record, play it. And they went, okay. And they put it on, and it's a pedal steel, which was, you know, one of those periods where it's non-existent, and what was coming out of Raleigh, and they just like lit up, and they're like, oh hell, and this, we like this. And so we, you know, they get us on the station, and we play, and we do gigs, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and big and big. And there was one show, a show at the brewery, and it was us. Whiskey Town was kind of just starting out still, but getting a lot of push from locally, and a band called Six String Drag, Kenny Roby, and another band called Pine State, played at the brewery. And that was, a lot of people said that was a defining moment that night. And we went in, every band went in the radio station that day, played live, and then we went up to the brewery and played a show that night. It was packed out. Next thing you know, whiskey, you know, record guys are driving Whiskey Town guys around in limos trying to get them to ink the deal. And we're like, okay, now what? And, you know, finally, a guy, David McConey, wrote an article and they published it in Billboard. And as soon as it got in print, the people at Mammoth Records called us up and said, yo, we've been looking at you for a long time. It's, you know, we want to put you out. And we figured, well, local label, let's do it, you know. And they were under Atlantic's umbrella at the time. And then from that point on, it just got weird. It wasn't the label, you know. It wasn't them per se, but it just got weird. It was just weird times.
Well, two good records came out of it. Throwing Rocks at the Moon.
Three good records. Three great records.
Okay, I've missed the. Is that the live record?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which a lot of people say is the best, and I kind of, in ways, I agree with them. You know. Yeah.
But the Backsliders, I guess they kind of came to an end there at the end of the decade.
Southern Lines, yeah.
And, yeah, 10 years later, here we are. And on stage during the show, I heard Red asking you about the last 10 years, and you said you thought maybe you'd never make another record again. I just wanted to ask you how it feels now to have one out there and to be back out in the spotlight again.
It's interesting. I mean, it's interesting times, and you know it as far as the music business goes. But, you know, you guys and you know, in radio, like you guys, they're supporting us, and all the people that listen to it supporting us is fantastic. You know, to know that it can still be done, you know.
Well, let's get into that then. The people supporting you. You guys are out on the road. I believe you said you were in Nashville last night. Knoxville tonight. This is Monday night. We're recording this at the Preservation Pub. Where do you go from here? What you guys going to be playing together again for a little while?
We're out for a couple more weeks.
Okay.
And we're going down to Georgia tomorrow, doing like three dates in Georgia. And up through South Carolina, North Carolina, D.C., Maryland, Philly, New York, Boston. Back to New York for a couple of dates.
And then I go on from there, back across the country. And then up, I sort of ping pong up and down the West Coast and in the Southwest, and then back across the country again. I'll be out until the 1st of July. And then 1st of July, I finally am going to take a break and either make another record or vow to never make another record again.
Keep going.
And we can find out about all these schedules and where you're going to be. CaseyAnderson.com, Chip-Robinson.com, and the record label website. Where can we find that?
It's red-river-records.com. So okay. Red River Records with dashes between the words.
And ninebullets.net occasionally?
Yeah, I will occasionally write for Nine Bullets. I like Brian a lot. I met him at South by Southwest. He's a great guy, and I think that site's cool. And I just started writing. When I have time, I'm going to write a column for Blurt Magazine, which is Scott Crawford's new. Scott Crawford did Harp Magazine, his new thing. It's just
I
a column.
I miss Harp Magazine.
I do too. But if you miss Harp, then you should read Blurt. It's real similar. But it's just a every once a month or once every couple of weeks, I just pick one song with another artist and we just talk about it. Peter Case and I just talked about the Dylan tune Joker Man.
Nice.
So I think that should be up now. But it's a cool little thing that Scott let me, you know, Scott just said, do you want to write for the magazine? You can do whatever you want. And I said, sure, why don't I just talk to other writers about songs that we like.
Cool. Well, I will say the first place that I read about Milo was on Nine Bullets. When you wrote about it there, and I think at that point Chip had already been scheduled for the Blue Plate, and probably you had been scheduled along with it, but that's when I, you know, started talking to Tony, our program director, about the solo record, and got in touch with you and had you send one along. And we've been playing both Nowhere Nights and Milo here at WDVX, and I just want to say they both sound great, and it's really interesting to me that they're both kind of coming from a similar perspective in terms of moving on and dealing with a past and trying to break through into something new. And I think it's really cool that, you know, one of you is on the West Coast of the country and one down in the South on the other side of the world.
It's a two-pronged attack.
Yeah, and they just came together and the records found each other so nicely. And I want to thank you all again for just coming by and sharing them with us today on the Blue Plate.
Oh, man, our pleasure. Thank you.
All right, well, Casey Anderson, Chip Robinson, you can find him again, CaseyAnderson.com, Chip-Robinson.com, and you can find him at your local music venue. They're coming to your town.
And at your local record store.
And, yeah, your local record store as well. Well, thanks, guys, for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.